Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. One of the things that I love about basketball is when a player has a clear shot at the basket and then chooses to pass the ball to a teammate so someone else can score. That's a form of sacrifice, isn't it? You're giving up the glory so someone else can make the shot. And you know, what we've been doing in the past few weeks is looking at passages that teach us about how Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us. And the message of Romans chapter 12 is that we are to be sacrifices unto God. We're to be living sacrifices unto him. And so what we read in the first verse of Romans chapter 12 is, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The word which is translated worship here is latreia in the Greek, and it can also be translated as service. And the person to whom we're giving service is God. And so from the moment that I walk into this room on Sunday mornings until I leave, I'm thinking to myself, the person that I'm here to serve today is God. And so he should get all of my attention. He should get all of my focus. He should get all the glory because I'm here to serve and to worship our God. Now, some people think of worship the way the Israelites offered sacrifices. You offer the bull or the ram or the lamb, and the offering is complete. And what the Bible is telling us here is that we're offering ourselves all the time. We're not killed and placed on an altar. I'm a sacrifice at home. I'm a sacrifice at work. I'm a sacrifice at any place that I happen to be. I am a sacrifice all the time. And so Jesus Christ described it this way. Then he said to them, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So it's a daily denial of self. One of the most important things that God wants you to understand today is this. When you walk out the door at 11 o'clock, worship is not finished. Worship continues. It continues all day long and all week long. We are living sacrifices unto God. And so what this requires is self-denial. And self-denial is not the way the world thinks. But we're not to be governed by the way the world thinks, are we? The second verse of Romans 12 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The word transformed is where we get the word metamorphosis. And so we're changed by God so that we better understand what it is that God wants us to do in our lives. Now, it may be my will for Thursday afternoons at 4 o'clock to go bowling. I don't know what your will is for Thursday afternoons at 4 o'clock, but what I have discovered is that God's will for my life is to tutor children at Thursday at 4 o'clock. And so where I find myself is in a public school sharing with children how to read better. And then at the end of that time, believe it or not, even though it's a public school, we talk about Jesus. And we also pray with the children, which is a remarkable experience. And that is the will of God for my life. When I think of all that God has done for me, I am more than willing to go out of my way for him and make sacrifices. Are we in agreement on that? It was Watchman Nee who said, for God, no cost is too high. Anything can be sacrificed if only we may please him. Let us daily learn to be obedient children. And so one of the most important prayers that you can pray when you wake up in the morning is, Lord, please reveal your will to me. Please show me what it is that you want me to do today. Help my heart to be open to you. Help my ears to be wide open to hear you speak. And then give me the heart that obeys you when you tell me what it is you want for me to do. If I give time or gifts or financial resources to the Lord, I'm investing in the kingdom. Each month, in addition to our tithe, our family gives a gift to Life Forward. Life Forward is a ministry on Auburn Avenue which helps people who are going through crisis pregnancies. And so what Life Forward does is that it encourages people to, instead of having an abortion, to have the child, and then Life Forward will commit to helping you raise that child. So when I get newsletters in the mail from Life Forward and I see pictures of babies, I think to myself, what an incredible investment this is. This life that's been saved because of this ministry. And I'm thankful to God that we're able to give that gift and to give it every month. And I'm grateful to God that no one can take that away. What Jesus says in Matthew 6, he says to all of us today, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So no one can take that away, what you're giving to God. In Psalm 112, we read, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. So when we sacrifice our time, when we sacrifice our money, when we sacrifice our energy, we have something less than what we had before, right? We've given up something unto God. One of the phrases of my lifetime, which I really enjoy, is the phrase, you can do more with less. That's not how the world thinks. What the world thinks is, I need more. I need more. How much more can I accumulate? And people like that need to be transformed. That's what this passage is teaching us. Are you transformed? Can you do more with less? I know of a guy who learned that lesson in 1960. His name was Theo Geisel. He got into a betting situation with a man by the name of Bennett Cerf, who was the founder of Random House Publishing. And what Cerf said to Theo Geisel was, could you write a book that has only 50 different words in it? Now you're wondering who Theo Geisel is. You probably know him by his pen name, Dr. Seuss. So what happened was that Dr. Seuss took that bet and he wrote a book, and the book was called Green Eggs and Ham. You know that book has sold 200 million copies. It's an amazing accomplishment. And at first glance, you might think this was a lucky fluke. A talented author plays a fun game with 50 words and ends up producing a masterpiece. But there's more to it. What Dr. Seuss discovered through this bet was the power of setting constraints. Constraints are not the enemy. Every artist has a limited set of tools to work with. Every athlete has a limited set of skills to train with. Every entrepreneur has a limited amount of resources to build with. Every person has a limited amount of time, gifts, and financial resources to work with. Once you know your constraints, you can creatively work and figure out how to use those constraints. I can have more with less. And how we look at ourselves in this process is a very important part of having more with less. So it says in the third verse of Romans 12, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So humility is an important part of what it means to be sacrificing. We're to remember that as we make sacrifices, we're still part of a team. And so if you work several hours at the rummage sale, it's important not to pat yourself on the back too much for that, because there are other people that are working at the rummage sale too. It takes a big team of people to do the kind of ministry that we do around here. If I'm a basketball player and I'm playing for the University of Michigan and I go out on the floor ready for the tip-off, what I'm hoping to see are four other guys wearing the same uniform as I, because I don't want to go up against Florida 1-5. I want to have the whole team present there. You know, when March Madness rolls around, my thoughts go back to the 1960s and the 1970s. And I think about a coach who coached a team that you may have heard of, UCLA. They won so many championships because of the great coaching of John Wooden. John Wooden once said, "Talent is God-given, be humble. Fame is man-given, be grateful. Conceit is self-given, be careful." He had a player who showed up for his first practice in the early 70s, and you may have heard of him. His name was Bill Walton. Bill Walton showed up for practice wearing this big full beard, which was against team rules. And so John Wooden took Bill Walton aside and he said, "You need to shave off your beard." And Bill Walton said, "You can't make me do that." And John Wooden said, "No, you're right. I can't make you shave off your beard, but I can decide who plays and who doesn't." Bill Walton thought that because he was at that time the greatest player in college basketball in the United States, that John Wooden would make an exception for him because he was so special, he was so extraordinary. And you know what John Wooden said to Bill Walton on that day? "We'll miss you, Bill." So what did Bill Walton do? He left that office and he went out and he shaved off his beard. And for the next 3 years, he was Player of the Year in the NCAA. It's because of humility, it's because of sacrifice, it's because he realized that it wasn't about him. There's no I in team, is there? Now, what we read in verse 6 of Romans 12 is that we have different gifts according to the grace given us. The passage continues in Romans 12 by saying, "If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." The Lord is saying to all of us through Romans chapter 12, let people use the gifts that I have given them. Let them do that. People want to make sacrifices to me, God is saying. Let them do it. So we're a team. And everybody on the team is important. There's no I in team. Now, another way to look at this is to say that we're a building. In our homes, most of our attention goes toward the furnishings. A lot of our attention goes toward the television. But would you want to have a home without a hot water heater? Would you want to have a home without plumbing? Would you want to have a home without electrical wires? There are so many things that we often do not see, things that we take for granted that make a huge difference in our home. So we don't want to lose a wire. We don't want to lose a pipe. We don't want to lose a brick. We don't want to lose a stone. So the Apostle Peter tells us this about making a sacrifice. He says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." That, dear friends, is our sacrifice. So I should be humble, right? I am just one stone offering my gift. It's my living sacrifice. But I'm part of something that is so much bigger than me. There are other stones. There are other parts of the house. It's God's people. That's our living sacrifice. And it's what we give to God because of all God's given to us. Father, we thank you that you, through your word, are calling us to be sacrifices to you, living sacrifices every day. And we know that we're to humble ourselves in your presence. Thank you for the grace given to each one of us and the faith in accordance with that grace that you've distributed and all the gifts that are present in this room, which make us a team. We praise you, Father, for your goodness and your grace, and commit all of ourselves to you for all of time. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 368, All for Jesus, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. If you have come to the place in your life where you would like to make a decision for the Lord or to join Mount Washington Baptist Church, if you are in need of prayer, we invite you to come forward and someone will pray with you and share with you that you may know God's healing and hope. May we all stand.